Good. I always enjoy the singing on Wednesday night, Sunday too, but just on Wednesday in the middle of the week, it's so precious to be able to come apart from the world and hear God's people sing. Well, let's turn please to Mark chapter 15. Mark 15, and we'll begin in verse 20 and read through verse 30. Once again, we're looking at some things from the English Standard Version. I'm not going to be reading out of the English Standard Version. I'm reading out of the King James, but we're looking at some issues with the English Standard Version. So, and Brother Berry, would you lead us in prayer, please, sir?
Lord, we thank you for this day and the opportunity to be able to gather together tonight, to be able to have this refreshment in the week.
Yes.
And Lord, we are so thankful for your goodness to us and for the sins that we can see and give praise to you and Lord, how great you are. Just ask that you would help us to glean something from your word tonight and be better equipped to serve you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. And Mark 15, we'll start in verse 20. Mark 15, 20. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple from him and put his own clothes on him and led him out to crucify him. And they compelled one Simon, a Cyrenian, who passed by, coming out of the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear his cross. And they bring him unto the place Golgotha, which is, being interpreted, the place of a skull. And they gave him to drink wine mingled with myrrh, but he received it not. And when they had crucified him, they parted his garments, casting lots upon them, what every man should take. And it was the third hour, and they crucified him. So the third hour, remember the Jewish day started at 6 a.m., so the third hour would be 9 a.m. is when they crucified him. And the superscription of his accusation was written over the King of the Jews. And with him they crucified two thieves, the one on his right hand and the other on his left. So that's why you see it pictured, Jesus always on the center of the cross, because that's the way it describes it, one thief on the right, one on his left. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, and he was numbered with the transgressors. And they that passed by railed on him, wagging their heads. And remember, they were mocking him because his hands were nailed, his feet were nailed. And when you're in pain, you just can't be still when you're in pain. That's part of the reason it's hard to sleep at night when you're in pain, because you're constantly moving. So he's nailed to the cross, and his head was the only thing that wasn't nailed to the cross. So his head would have been going back and forth because of the pain. And so they are mocking him, is what they are doing, verse 29, wagging their heads and saying, "Ah, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself and come down from the cross." Well, the verse we're looking at in regard to the ESV, the English Standard Version, is verse 28. The Bible says, "And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, and he was numbered with the transgressors." Before we go to that, if we could, is it Brother Joe, are you running, or somebody else? Okay, Spencer K. If we could look at the first one, the 001, the preface, part one. So remember, just to remind ourselves, says the English Standard Version, the ESV, stands in the classic mainstream of English Bible translations. Now, I'm not saying that. The translators were saying this. This is their preface. They're saying the ESV stands in the classic mainstream of English Bible translations over the past half millennium, so the past 500 years. The fountainhead of that stream was William Tyndale's New Testament of 1526. Marking its course were the King James Version of 1611. So the translators are saying that the fountainhead was the Tyndale translation onto to the King James. Then there's the second part of the preface, if we go to the next. Okay, they continue. In that stream, faithfulness to the text and vigorous pursuit of precision were combined with simplicity. And we'll stop there a minute and remind ourselves. So the translators to the ESV are complimenting Tyndale to King James. They're saying those translators from William Tyndale to the King James had a, well, first of all, faithfulness to the text. So we're talking about the manuscripts, faithfulness to the text, and vigorous pursuit of precision. So they're saying that from Tyndale to King James, this line, we're faithful to the text of Scripture. We're precise in their translating, and yet with simplicity, beauty, and dignity of expression. Our goal, so now it's back to the ESV translators, our goal has been to carry forward this legacy for this generation and generations to come. So, I mean, the praise is just oozing from them for Tyndale right on up through King James. Okay, well, let's see what they did with this passage here before us. So we could go to the next one there. Okay, so remember the ESV was done in 2001, so I'd be 22 years old, the translation now. So this is, you might want to compare it with your Bible in front of you. So verse 27, they say, "And with him they crucified two robbers, one in his right and one in his left." Okay, then verse 28. Now, I printed that in there because the number 28 and the whole verse is missing. So if you could just imagine the text of the ESV without that line in there, but I had to put it in there to explain what they did. But it goes 27, 29, 30. So once again, they just totally skipped the number. Now, you think with a multitude of modern translations out there, isn't it amazing that they're still skipping the number? I mean, because a multitude of the modern translations do not have verse 28 in it. But what I find amazing is that for some reason, they don't renumber the chapter. And I think it is just of the Lord to let people know they took something. They took something out. Because if they would have renumbered this, no one would have known. If they would say, well, the best manuscripts doesn't have verse 28 in there, so let's just make verse 29, verse 28, and verse 30, verse 29, and so on. But they don't seem to do that. They just skip the number. And if we could go back to the King James, what is verse 28? It's, "And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, and he was numbered with the transgressors." So the verse is dealing with fulfilled scripture. It's showing us that this was a prophecy that was fulfilled. But once again, it'd be the first part of the preface. I'm not sure if I'll confuse you, Spencer, but I don't know if that's two or, which one did I have up? Yes, that's correct. So remember, they said that the English Standard Version stands in the classic mainstream of English Bible translations over the past half millennium. The fountainhead of that stream was William Tyndale's New Testament of 1526, marking its course with the King James Version of 1611. Then if we could go to the second part of the preface. In that stream, faithfulness to what? The text. And vigorous pursuit of what? Precision. Well, you know what? That may be what they said, but that is not what they believed. Because you're seeing it right before. If we could go to the ESV. Yes, right there. They left the whole verse out. So you can't say that the stream was faithful to the text and precise in its translation when you take a whole verse out. But that's what they say. Well, let's go to William Tyndale's. So let's look at the stream. You know, a lot of these people just criticize, you know, the King James Bible. They just hate. They just hate it. And you know what? I find that amazing because these contemporary Christians who hate the King James Bible do not seem to have that same hatred for any other translation. That is strange. Very strange. So Tyndale, let's see what he did. Remember, the ESV translators praise from Tyndale through King James. Well, Tyndale, verse 27, and they crucified him with two thieves. And this is Old English spelling here, you'll notice. The one on the right hand and the other on his left. So, you homeschoolers, if you spell like this, you're probably going to get a few checks wrong. But this is Old English. You know, sometimes they say, oh, the King James Bible, I just can't understand it, that Old English. Well, no, this is Old English. Okay. Verse 28. Here's the verse that the ESV took completely out, but look, it's right here with Tyndale. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, he was counted among the wicked. So, on one hand, they're praising Tyndale, the King James. On the other hand, they took this verse out, that the stream, what they called the mainstream, the stream had it in there. Tyndale had verse 28 in there. So let's look at the next one, which would be the Bishop's Bible. Tyndale was 1522 to 1535. The Bishop's Bible was done in 1568. So that'd be the next one in the line. Verse 27, and they crucified with him. Once again, this is truly old English. They crucified with him two thieves, the one on the right hand and the other on his left. Verse 28, it's in there. It's not taken out. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, he was counted among the wicked. So, Tyndale had it in there. The Bishop's Bible had it in there. And that was 30-some years later. So, 30-some years later, the Geneva Bible. Let's go to that one. The Geneva Bible. Okay. Verse 27. They crucified also with him two thieves, the one on the right hand and the other on his left. Verse 28, it's there. Thus the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, and he was counted among the wicked. ESV translators praise this stream as being precise and faithful to the text, but the ESV translators took out this entire verse. But so far, Tyndale, the Bishop's Bible, and the Geneva Bible all have it in there. Well, then if we go back to the King James, obviously, verse 27. And with him they crucified two thieves, the one on his right hand and the other on his left. Verse 28, it's right there. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, and he was numbered with the transgressors. So, but it's gone in the ESV. So, what stream was the ESV really following? They're praising the mainstream English translations. And you would think praising it, they said it was precise. They said it was faithfulness to the text. They didn't follow that stream. They were following a corrupt stream. Notice the New World Translation. New World Translation. Let's see. Maybe the next one. There we go. Okay, you remember who did the New World Translation? Jehovah's Witnesses. Okay, this is their translation. Now, they've got a newer one out from 2013, but once again, I'm using the one before the ESV was done, which was 2001. To show you that the translators would have known what the Jehovah's Witnesses did with this. So, New World Translation, Jehovah's Witnesses, verse 27. Moreover, they impaled two robbers with him, one in his right and one in his left. Verse 28. At least the Jehovah's Witnesses know how to count. They at least know that if you just put 27, 29, that people will think something's wrong with you. So they put 28, but this is exactly how it appears in their translation, just with a long line. No verse. And then they go on with the passage. So many of these people say, you King James only people are cultists. You're cultists. Don't ever let anyone get away with calling you a cultist. The cultists, if anyone's a cultist, if anyone's following the cults and what they've done, it's all these modern translations that use a corrupt manuscript. I mean, wouldn't you think as a Christian, if you were trying to defend these new translations, but you honestly could see all that you have seen so far? I mean, if you was following a newer translation or thought it was okay before we started this study, would you still feel that way? Knowing that every one of these big changes, removing verses, last time removing like a third of words in four verses that we looked at, wouldn't you begin to have the light come on if some orator had convinced you there were mistakes in the King James, but these other manuscripts were actually the authentic ones, and maybe you had gotten carried away. There's men like James White that leads many people astray in this. I mean, and when they get through listening to him, they actually think that the King James is wrong. But when do you think that after looking at all of these instances where Tyndale, Bishop's Bible, Geneva Bible, King James, and that the ESV translators praised Tyndale through King James, and yet the ESV translators are following the same corrupt stream that the Jehovah's Witnesses follow? You know, if I'd listened to some orator and I had gotten convinced by him or by them that the King James really did have serious problems and wasn't the most accurate and actually did not follow the right manuscripts, wouldn't you think people like that, when they consider all of these changes, are the same changes that Jehovah's Witnesses made, which means that the Jehovah's Witnesses have chosen the other stream. It's not the mainstream for 500 years. It's the other stream. It's like the stream in Mexico when Jeremy and Julie was down there. I don't know, some of my family here probably remember, but there was a river that was some distance away. I don't remember how far. But people just dumped their sewage into that river. And you could smell that smell for a long ways away. Now, you've got to decide in your mind, for these 500 years, this half of millennium of the stream, Tyndale, King James, on to this day, have they been following a corrupt, foul stream? Was it the Jehovah's Witnesses that are following the good, pure stream? As a Christian, it would be hard for me to imagine people looking at this proof. Oh, they took that verse out. None of the stream took it out. None of through Tyndale through King James. It's just these modern translations took it out. And the funny thing is the Jehovah's Witnesses took out all those same verses and same words. Boy, you'd think that would make people think. But you know what? Some of them just have a hatred for the King James Bible. A hatred. And I'm just telling you here, you don't have to be... That's fine if you want to learn Hebrew and Greek. Great. But I'm telling you, you don't have to know Hebrew and Greek to find out which is the right stream, which is the right Bible. Just look at what we have seen. Look at what's before you here. Now, why is verse 28 such a big deal? It says, and the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, and he was numbered with the transgressors. Well, it's very simply this. Satan would love to take this verse out because Satan does not want people to know that the scripture gets fulfilled. Satan does not want to know, want people to know that the rest of scripture, all these prophecies, are going to be fulfilled. He doesn't want people to know. Notice with me in John 8:44. Satan, you know, if you see that scripture is fulfilled, you see that proof, it makes you stronger and stronger in your faith. You know, there are so many people that have said for many years, they've mocked what the Bible says. They've mocked the flood. They've mocked Jericho. They say, oh, the walls didn't fall down flat in that city. Well, you know what? Funny thing is, they excavated it, and that's exactly what they found out. The walls fell out flat. They found it true. And over and over and over in archaeology, they find out that the Bible is true. Over and over. Satan doesn't want people to know that. In John 8:44, the Bible says, you are of your father who? The devil. And the lust of your father you will do. He was what? A murderer. Do you realize every death, the blood is on his hands? It's because of sin that death entered the picture. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth because there is what? No truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. For he is what? A liar. And the father of it. So, Satan does not want people to know that Scripture gets fulfilled. That God's Word is true. Remember what he did with Eve. He caused her to question it. Yea, hath God said. And then Satan, through the serpent, flat out denied it. He denied it. And then, he told Eve, basically, God is withholding the best from you. Because he knows if you eat of this, you're going to be as gods, knowing good and evil. Notice in Matthew 25, Satan does not want people to know that the scripture is going to be fulfilled. Matthew 25. And verse 41. Matthew 25:41. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for who? The devil and his angels. This is what the scripture prophesies and states as fact, that God prepared hell for Satan and his angels. Do you know what that means? That means Satan is the loser, not the winner. And you know what? He does not want people to know that the scriptures will be fulfilled. He does. Notice in verse 46, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. How do we know tonight that Israel is not going to be annihilated by Hamas, the Palestinians, by the Iranians, by the Syrians, by the Russians, by the Libyans, by the Ethiopians? All these nations are going to come against Israel at one time or another. How do we know that they're not going to win? That they're not going to succeed in wiping Israel off the face of the map? We know from the prophecy of Scripture. Satan doesn't want people to know that Scripture is and will be fulfilled. Notice in Revelation 14. Revelation 14. Now, can you imagine talking to a Jehovah's Witness and using all of these passages we've used from 1 John 5:7, John 3:13? All of these verses. Can you imagine opening your Bible, trying to prove something to a Jehovah's Witness, and your Bible has the same verses taken out? Your Bible omits the same words? It's like pulling out a gun and trying to shoot the enemy, but all you hear is click, click, click. Or it's like pulling out a sword to get the enemy, to fight the enemy, and somebody broke off the tip and somebody ground off both sides of the blade. So it's basically worthless unless you want to spank the enemy with it or something. I mean, what else are you going to do? Revelation 14, verse 9. Revelation 14, 9. And the third angel followed him, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast in his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of what? The wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up for what? Ever and ever. And they have no rest, day nor night, who worship the beast in his image. And whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Satan doesn't want people to know these truths. Satan does not want people to know that this is literally going to happen. It's prophecy and it will be fulfilled. He doesn't want people to know that. Look in chapter 20, Revelation 20, verse 10. So people say, oh, translations is a non-issue. That's what so many people say. It's a non-issue. It's not something worth debating. How wrong, how very wrong they are. Revelation 20, verse 10. And the who? The devil that what? Deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are and shall be what? Tormented day and night for what? Ever and ever. That is going to happen. Satan is going to be cast in the lake of fire. And he is going to be tormented day and night forever and ever. But Satan does not want people to know that's going to happen. Because Satan in his own pride is obviously thinking somehow he's going to outsmart God. And he is not going to be successful. Notice in Matthew 5. Matthew 5 and verse 17. Matthew 5:17. I really believe why the cults are so multiplying. And of course, when COVID hit, that really hit a lot of the cults because they do a lot of door-to-door work. But they're back out with their poison. But Matthew 5:17, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to what? Fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till what? All be fulfilled. Satan does not want people to know that all the scripture is going to be fulfilled. So let's go back there once more to Mark chapter 15. Mark 15. So why would Satan want this verse taken out? Why would he want to convince people this verse is not in the best manuscripts? Mark 15 and verse 28. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, and he was numbered with the transgressors. The reason Satan did not like this is because it was a proof that the scripture, that prophecy is true. So I pray that God would help us. I pray that people in this world, professing Christians, who have been convinced by orators that the King James Bible has errors, that it did not follow the correct manuscripts. My prayer to God is that He would open their eyes. Why is it the cults follow the other stream? Why is it that the Jehovah's Witnesses make the same omissions as all these new translations? They're all following the same corrupt stream. May God help us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your Word. Thank You, Lord, that we know that our salvation is sure because of the Word of God, that the Lord Jesus is the virgin-born Son of God, God Almighty in the flesh, that He lived a perfect sinless life, and that He died on the cross for our sins and was buried and rose again, proving that His sinless blood washed away our sins. Father, I pray You'd help us as Christians. Father, there are so many eloquent orators who can win all kinds of debates and lead people astray. But the fact remains, the cults follow the other stream, the same stream that all the modern translations follow. There's a reason for that, we know. So Lord, help us. Help us to be in Your Word and to be faithful. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take our hymn books.